This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. Well, isolated rain and thunderstorms pushed through the region yesterday and last evening, bringing scattered rains. End on stations at Brockett, North Dakota, reporting 54 hundredths, Dickinson 39 hundredths, Bow Bells 15 hundredths. East of Thief River Falls, the end on station at Mavie, Minnesota, reported 1.14 inches, Perham 31 hundredths, 48 hundredths at Foxholm, with another tenth of an inch since midnight. Large area of rain and thunderstorms stretching from just south of Fergus Falls to Morris, then on southeastward to Mankato, including the Benson, Glenwood, Wilmer areas, all moving to the northeast this morning. The heaviest thunderstorms are on that south edge of that system, stretching from Mankato toward Faribault. House Rules Committee will consider the compromise debt ceiling package today. A positive vote in the Rules Committee would set up a vote by the full House tomorrow. In comments made to NBC News, South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson says the debt ceiling bill will absolutely pass. With the amount of turnover in Congress in the recent years, 60% of the House members have never voted on a farm bill. Former House Agriculture Committee Chair Colin Peterson says a lot of education needs to happen.
There's just a lot of education that needs to be done. I mean, we have in the House on the Democratic side, you've got 11 freshmen that are on the committee. You know, obviously they have never been involved in this. Half of them don't have a whole lot of agriculture in their district. You know, so there's just a lot of education that needs to be done. And frankly, on the Republican side, you know, back in the old days, they had very strong ties to agriculture on the Republican side. That's not the case so much. You know, even on their side, they don't have, a solid ag background as they used to. So it's a different world.
All eyes are on the new farm bill, but Peterson says there are other issues for farmers.
You know, probably a bigger issue in the Midwest is not the farm bill. It's ethanol and the future of ethanol and what's going to happen with this pipeline, you know, which could really change the economics of ethanol if they get the CO2 pipeline built. So that's a bigger issue in the Midwest than PLC or ARC and these other things.
Supreme Court threw out the significant nexus test for the determinations of wetlands. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley still doesn't trust the EPA to do the right thing.
My suspicion is that EPA, just like regulators in almost any department, is going to take any wiggle room that's in a law or in a Supreme Court decision and try to regulate to the fullest extent possible.
Grassley has a bill that clarifies the definition for the waters of the United States. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson sponsoring legislation to create a voluntary pilot program for states to increase truck weights on federal interstate highways up to 91,000 pounds on six axles. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek said that proposal can help address supply chain issues.
Well, there's been an effort for a considerable period of time to increase the efficiency of truck transportation, and a number of states have actually done so. They allow trucks that are heavier in weight with additional axles to operate on state and local system. But it's always been a challenge to get that instituted at the federal level on the interstate system. The opponents of it, you know, it's easy to have more of a knee-jerk reaction to this and just make an assumption that if you have a heavier truck, that must mean a more dangerous system. And that's actually not the case when you have an additional axle.
Steenhoek says the proposal addresses numerous issues.
We have a truck driver shortage. We have a desire to decrease costs. We want to decrease emissions. We want to transport more. And what we found is that by adding that additional axle and then you add additional weight, you're able to really increase efficiency and cost savings for agriculture and other utilizers of the system, but you're also actually increasing motorist safety. And the main way in which you achieve that is you're taking a given amount of freight and you're apportioning that over fewer semi-trucks.
Agriculture trade between Russia and China has skyrocketed. China's exports to Russia reached a record high in April, nearly $10 billion. That's an increase of 153% from a year ago. This is the Red River Farm Network. Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Well, after waiting for the snow to melt and planters get rolling this spring, a lot of crops are starting to emerge. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
This spring has been moving right along for Johnson Farms in both west central Minnesota and Montana. Planting is wrapped up.
Well, most guys are getting caught up or finished up planting here. We finished up last week, corn and soybeans here. Had a good run, a little bit of rain delays, but had good moisture to plant into. Most crops are coming up now and looking good, good stands, and getting on the dry side, but we'll get moisture at some point. But not looking good around here in west central Minnesota.
After experiencing drought the last few years, northeast Montana has seen rain this spring.
We're up in northeast Montana. Also there, we wrapped up seeding out there last week. That's all spring wheat, canola, and peas. Been very fortunate up there. We've been extremely dry for the last few years. Had decent moisture to plant into. Been getting some timely rains up there. That's a big bonus for us with these crops just getting started and going up there. And currently things are looking pretty good, but northeast Montana, you're only a week away from a drought, so we'll see what happens, I guess.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Haying season coming right on the heels of planting. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
Cropland alfalfa and forage specialist Jeff Jackson says alfalfa fields are either ready or almost ready for first cutting.
So the fields in our area right now, we're getting really close to time to cut, and there have been a few fields that have been knocked down already. Generally speaking, those are some of the dairies that have large number of acres that are trying to get started and get going, especially down probably northwest Iowa, Sioux City area, and starting to move north. Looks to me like we're somewhere in that 22 to 24 inches of plant height, and we really want people to probably focus on try to get alfalfa cut at about 28 inches. So we had some weird weather this year, as everybody knows, that we warmed up and got cool and warmed up and got really cool. We're starting to get back into this warm pattern again.
Jackson warns farmers not to wait too long before breaking into fields.
So for people to try and wait for the reproductive part of the plant to show up, like the flowers, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we got to wait till that plant's 10% bloom, or some guy might say 50% bloom is when we generally cut our hay. We need to get focused on the fact that these weird weather patterns have kind of messed up that plant physiology a little bit. And this has happened to us multiple years here where people simply wait too long. Then the plant gets tall, it gets fairly rank, coarse stems. We lose a lot of leaves off the bottom of that plant, and then they cut it and say, man, our quality just isn't very good.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Certain areas of southeastern North Dakota have seen plenty of rainfall and moisture so far this season. NDSU Extension agronomist Greg Endres says the areas near Carrington are still seeing some wet fields.
Along Highway 281 corridor from, oh gosh, as far south as Aberdeen and through Carrington up to Devil's Lake, we have plenty of soil moisture at this time. People are dealing with it. Just farmers are being selective on what fields they can plant in, and of course they still have to go around some wet areas. All in all, people are making pretty good progress with their planting. Actually, a lot of soybeans are being planted, certainly some corn yet, and wheat. Really, the whole gamut of earlier season crops are being planted. That would be wonderful if we could go through the rest of the month without rain and people would feel really good by June 1 if that would happen.
And what's in the ground has seen nearly ideal emergence conditions.
We do have very good crop emergence conditions. The soils are warm, and of course we have good moisture. People are a little bit patient on when they plant the crop. It is interesting how quickly the crops are emerging, small grain as well, especially corn. Corn, so many springs, we wait 3 or 4 weeks for corn to emerge because of cool, wet conditions. This year, the corn is emerging quite rapidly, and that'll be good. That may mean we'll have more uniform plant emergence and crop just getting started quicker, and that adjusts for our later planting of the corn in particular.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Another ethanol plant in South Dakota has signed on to the Summit Carbon Solutions Carbon Capture Pipeline Project. NuGen Energy in Marion, South Dakota, the latest to join 32 other ethanol plants in the five-state span of the pipeline route. In South Dakota, there are 7 other ethanol plants signed on to that project. As temperatures increase and winds come in from the south, insect pressure spikes. University of Minnesota Extension educator Anthony Hansen says stand loss can become an issue.
Often we kind of start to see our first flush of possibly major insect issues that can come up. Some of it's for corn, maybe soybeans, and then a little bit of an alfalfa too. On the corn side of things especially, we do have some moths that will come up from the south, black cutworm, then also true armyworm. Those ones will lay their eggs in grassy areas or corn, which is also grass. They prefer to feed on that. So those eggs hatch, and you can actually get these cutworms that, by their name, they're actually cutting the plant at ground level sometimes. So you can get some feeding and stand loss from those cutworms when those larvae are developing and kind of working their way through a field.
And fields need to be monitored and pesticides sprayed when needed. Hansen says cover crops can require extra vigilance.
Part of what you can do, it really depends on each situation. So I'll talk about true armyworm a little bit. This is one of these other moths that blow in from the south, but these can also hit corn. But one of the other problems is if someone, say, has a rye cover crop, if that's a grass, they do really well on that. It's not as much of a concern for the cover crop itself, but if you terminate that cover crop and you have a lot of large larvae out there, and let's say you have soybean out there, they will actually move over to that soybean. And I've seen some fields that have been decimated to the point where they didn't get there in time for replant, and that field essentially had to be abandoned for the year. There wasn't enough time to get a crop out of it even.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning. We're seeing quite a bit of pressure here in the wheat. July wheat in Minneapolis is down 10 and 3 quarters. The new crop September is down 8 at 8.11 and a quarter. Chicago July wheat down 10 at 6.06. Kansas City July wheat's down 17 and a quarter at 8.02. July corn is down a half right now at 6.03 and a half. December down 3 cents at 5.31 and a half. July soybeans are down 12.5 cents at 13.24. November soybeans are down 12.5 at 11.77. And in Winnipeg, July canola is down $1.20 a metric ton, 682.50 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the NDSU Farm Safety Camp begins today. That'll be in Fargo. Also coming up on the 2nd, North Dakota Stockmen's Association Spring Roundup at Fort Yates. The 2nd and 3rd, North Dakota Junior Angus Field Day at Carrington. June 3rd, also a breakfast on the farm at Holly, Minnesota. And June 3rd and 4th is the North Dakota Junior Red Angus Field Day at Streeter. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.